Welcome to Tip Top, growing up your business with Metronomics. We will be talking with business thought leaders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and business team coaches who have all taken the journey to grow up their businesses to their tip top. We will be sharing strategies, systems, and stories on how you can grow up your company at the speed you want. If you are searching for your path to the tip top and feel your time is running out, then this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Shannon Susco. Well, good day, everyone, and welcome back. Excited to be here. We have another great serial entrepreneur to talk with today. And as most people know, I'm always really curious about entrepreneurs, especially serial entrepreneurs, and really what gets them up every day and to take on new things, new challenges, build bigger teams. Today, I have Narek Vardanyan with me, CEO of prelaunch.com, but has been part of other organizations. Narek, welcome.
Hey, Shannon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so good. So you today are the CEO of prelaunch.com. Let's start with that. I know you've done other things and other companies, but let's start with prelaunch.com. Give me a little background on prelaunch.com.
Sure. So, you know, millions of physical products are launched into the market every year, actually, yes. Like more than 2 million. And unfortunately, like 90% of them fails in the first year. And one of the main reasons that they are failing is that actually there is no market demand, right?
Yes.
And there are no best ways on how to predict the market demand, because most of the conventional tools that are out there are mostly based on opinions, on research, on surveys, on focus groups. So companies are doing the same as they have been doing like for the past 200 years, actually. And as a result, most of them fail. So in that contrast, like we kind of faced that pain ourselves and started to kind of build some tools and models on how to get information based on people's actual behavior, right? So this is how we end up on reservation, on deposits. Yeah. We understood that when people actually put down small amount of money, this is where they really have their skin in the game. So this is how pre-launch works. Like on one side, there are creators, brands who are putting down their per concept when they are not fully ready. And then on the other side, there is this community who loves innovations and this kind of stuff. And then they are putting down $10 to $20 to prove their real purchase intent and get a discount if these products are released into the market, right? And then we are using this data, this information to analyze with pre-launch, provide some benchmarks, some statistics, some analytics to show creators on how well they are doing at very early stage. And we try to answer two questions, basically, whether the product works in the market or not, whether the market really wants this product. And also who the customers are, like why they are buying your products, what's their main motivations, their incentives, etc. And pre-launch provides a very comprehensive dashboard and analytics to help creators understand where they have some pitfalls, some gaps to go and fix them when they have time without investing lots of money and time in it.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. Like I think back to my first company and I would have loved to have prelaunch.com because we did build a really great, you know, mousetrap and what we thought was a really great mousetrap. And we funded it, we brought it to market and realized, you know, there really wasn't a market. Like, I'm sure you hear this story all the time. And, you know, what did we do? Well, we pivoted. Third time lucky. Woohoo! We're a global payment internet service provider. But, you know, I think back when you were saying that, I'm like, oh, how do inventors, creators, entrepreneurs, how do they find you or how do they know you exist?
Yeah. So as you said, this problem is everywhere, like companies, even like the famous brands, like you.
Yeah.
I was really surprised to find out, to discover that even the biggest brands that we know, they still have the problem. And basically nobody can really understand what the market really wants without having the product actually be in the market. So what we were trying to do, we're trying to kind of simulate the real behavior-based analytics. So companies find us different ways, like through expos. We participated in a couple of expos recently, and we did something really creative in our last expo. We did this gallery of flops, basically. So it was a gallery of failed products. Where
we could have been there.
yeah, like we brought famous products from famous brands like Nike, Amazon, Nintendo, etc. Like some iconic products that basically failed. And we made this gallery. It became really famous. And the companies loved it as well. So it was fun to see the designers who designed those products arriving there. So expos, you know, organically, we're gaining a lot of traction. We launched last year, but we already have close to 1,000 companies using the platform already.
Wow.
And close to 1 million people to come and discover different types of innovation. So the word of mouth is one of the biggest channels.
Yes.
Of course. And then sales, and then, you know, organic, social media, PR.
How did you become involved with prelaunch.com? Why was it started? What's the core purpose?
Yeah, it's interesting. So before prelaunch, I had this agency. It was a very famous agency. Which we were doing crowdfunding marketing campaigns. So as we are becoming more popular, companies were sending us some samples, and we needed to figure out which product has a bigger potential, right? Because we're operating on a percentage-based basis. So we needed at an early stage to understand which product is the best performer, to not to invest all our resources on the best sellers to get a higher revenue. And the way we were doing is that I was entering into the room, was putting my master hat on, and there were like a lot of products out there, and I was the most experienced guy. And I was choosing one product and throwing everything away. And like the whole team, more than 100 people, for 3 months were working on these specific products until we were figuring out that this is not working. The market doesn't have a demand and it was failing. And the ones that we threw away, like it turns out to become like really successful bestsellers, etc. So we tried a lot of stuff, but I was thinking that this is because I'm still kind of a newcomer in here, and with more experience, I will gain more expertise, but it didn't happen. Like the more expertise I gained, the worse it became. So we tried a lot of stuff, like, you know, the conventional ways, research, everything, the focus groups, but it didn't really help. So we tried this, you know, deposits and reservation. We tried to ask people, are you ready to give $10 for this product if this product is released into the market? So if this product is not released, you'll get your money back. So you're not risking anything. But by giving this even small contribution, you're having your skin in the game, and you're kind of providing a very vital signal to a creator that you really want to buy this, right? So we tried a couple of experiments and saw it really working. And then we, based on this, grew the agency TCF to become one of the, you know, most popular agencies there. And then started to provide it as a service, because we understood that pretty much everybody is suffering from this problem. And so that people are ready to pay for it. Like we pre-launched the pre-launch, and then so that, you know, it's working. And then last year we brought all the know-hows and experience into a platform and made it available to everybody to use.
Yeah. So prelaunch.com launched February 2022. Right? So a year ago.
Yeah.
In that time, because that's always a big time. It's not the first time that you've launched a new company. What have been sort of your greatest successes over the last year? And what's been, you know, one of your biggest challenges?
You know, for pre-launch, it's interesting because like the success on pre-launch may be to not launch one product. Like the success of it can be to forecast the failure at an early stage.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the cheapest failure, basically. And we're considering it as a success for ourselves. It was really interesting range of products, like starting from a face mask, which was fully covering your face. And it was kind of, it might look funny to some, because it's, you know, you're fully covering your face and it's designed for privacy purposes, etc. And nobody was betting on this product to become successful. And after pre-launch, it turns out to have a really good potential. And then they launched, and it really became like a super successful product. Like it became bestseller on its category, etc.
Yeah.
There were some other products. We had some pet products where we kind of trying to convince the creator to increase the price. It's always about decreasing the price, right? When you want to go to the market, it's always about like whether we are like should maybe decrease a little bit, see if people will pay it or not. So after the pre-launch, we saw that there is a potential to almost double the price, basically, because we are doing these experiments, playing with the price, increasing and decreasing it, and seeing how the elasticity works, how the market reacts. So in the end, like, you know, we were able to convince the creator, so they increased it and benefited from additional 50% more margin, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah. And currently we have a really, really great product. It's an electric motorcycle from former Harley Davidson senior engineer, Eric Buell. And he's a kind of legendary designer and engineer. So he's pre-launching his electric motorcycle on the platform, which became super popular. We got a lot of PR out there.
Right.
And it's a super good one with a lot of patents, etc. So along the way, it's a kind of iterative process, right? So it's not just binary, whether it works or it doesn't. When you see that something is not ideal, you still have time. And along the way, you try to come up with different hypotheses to change the positioning, to change the audience, to change the pricing, unless you see it's working, right? And we also had a case where at first it was an electric toothbrush. And at first we saw that it doesn't work. But because of the persistence and energy of the founders, like, they totally transformed the product into something totally different. Like, they changed the core value proposition, they changed the design, the materials, even the name of it. So it becomes a totally different product. Yeah. And in 8 months, they launched it when they saw that everything is good. And according to the benchmarks, they launched it and it became really successful. So it was we're considering it as one of our biggest successes, because
love it.
If they would launch it previously, they wouldn't succeed, but now they have this successful business.
Now, you know, you're a year and 2 months, let's say, into prelaunch.com, but you have co-founded another organization, right? In like 2015, I think. Basically, it was TCF, which is, I think, stood for the crowdfunding formula. Do I have that right?
Yeah, the crowdfunding formula.
Okay, like, tell us a little bit about that. That's only like, you know, it wasn't a long go. 7 years is a good go. Give us a little bit of background on TCF.
Yeah, so it started from a failure, like, you know, many,
like,
many companies.
Like we all do.
Like we all do, exactly. So it started from a failure. Me and my friend had this idea for a survey system application. And somebody told us about Kickstarter, about crowdfunding platforms. So we saw that, you know, a lot of campaigns are raising millions of dollars and thought, oh, this is so easy. This is so great. We can do better. We can create better videos. And we created a campaign on Kickstarter. And then we thought we're going to raise $1 million for that. But we raised, you know, zero. And it obviously failed because we were not familiar with how to do it, with the potential and with doing the homework. So then we understood that basically applications, mobile apps, doesn't actually work on Kickstarter. So we didn't have a chance at that time. But I started to interview these people who had previous successes there. And it turned out that we were doing so wrong, everything. And there was so priceless information that I included all these interviews into a book and published it on Amazon and named it as 57 Secrets of Crowdfunding. And it became a bestseller, and it became a first, the number one in crowdfunding category. And I started to get a lot of requests from people who are doing crowdfunding, like, how we can do this, how we can do that.
Right.
At that time, I did only one campaign and it was a failure, basically. But I had a bestseller book. So I was opening my list of interviews, like, trying to give some hints, some advice. And it turned out that, you know, the information is really working, and this advice was really a great one. So that kind of transformed into a consulting business, then into a management company. Then we started to do full campaign management, hired a team, and started to basically implement the advice that we have been giving to others in the book. And very quickly, we're included in the one of the top agencies, started to raise millions of dollars in crowdfunding campaigns. And with this pre-launch methodology, we started to identify the bestsellers at a very early stage. So that helped us to kind of grow it further, because we were able to see out of, you know, 100 products, which one has the biggest potential. And with a great product and great marketing, we're having a really good campaign. So yeah, this is how it grew.
Yeah, it's a nice flow.
Combination.
Yeah, very good combination.
I would say a mandatory combination, because with the bad product and great marketing, it won't go anywhere. And also with the great product and bad marketing, it also kind of doesn't work.
Yeah.
People need to find you somewhere. So we expanded it to an ecosystem. So we started to create some other companies out there, came up with some platforms on how creators can find each other. We started a media company, and then Prelaunch was kind of one of our last companies that we started within this ecosystem to help innovators bring their ideas into the market kind of successfully.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Totally flows through. Now, tell me about, you know, lots of people listening are probably going, wow, what a story. Which is, it's a great story, good follow through, very connected story on how you've taken advantage of the opportunities that have been in front of you, which I love. And they usually start with something that failed, right? And most people miss that. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, building the team that worked with you, right? So the team in TCF and the large team that you have now at prelaunch.com.
Yeah. So in the beginning, I was not realizing how important is the team and cultural aspects are in building big and enduring businesses, right? But with time, again, with many failures and many books and with many advisors and mentors, I started to realize the importance of creating a culture and embedding a real value system that the team will take all the ownership of, right? So I'm really happy with the team. I'm really happy what we achieved. And whoever joins the team, they kind of clearly see the culture that we've created. And we are putting a lot of attention on making sure that, you know, we have the right type of people in the team.
Yeah.
So it can be like a great specialist with great technical capabilities. But if the cultural kind of fit is not there, we won't let somebody in the team. And we have these values, which are the cornerstone of our culture, I would say. The feedback, the ownership, we have this champion mindset also, like to always go beyond on what you're thinking is possible. So we have created this kind of set of values, which are playing as a kind of small rules, like how you need to operate the companies,
right.
And how each team member should understand what they need to base their decisions on, right? So how to understand what to do right now. Is this the right thing or this is the right thing? And then we have these values, which basically cover the whole kind of spectrum of whatever problems you will face. And this is how we created this kind of team, which has this really good ownership. They are aligned with the vision. It's really important for the team to kind of pause for a while and then see what's in very far, like what's the vision, where they are going, why they're kind of doing this operational hectic stuff. So yeah, these kind of small things are really, really important if you started from the day one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the number one thing that actually prevents companies from growing. I mean, they're just small things, but those are the buildup of those steps, whether it's the vision, the culture, the behavior, you know, right down to getting the right people at the right time, doing the right things, right, on the team. I mean, it's just so critical. And I'm sure you've seen it, you know, a lot. If you think about your background and crowdfunding opportunities, and not only do the best ideas win, right, they have to have the best team to go with them and the right team. You know, it sounds like the right team, but there are different ways that we can make up a team to actually, you know, win whatever the game is. With Prelaunch, give me an idea and give the listeners an idea of the size of your organization. And sort of when you look out, what are your big goals, your long-term, your near-term, you know, the rest of this year's goals? You're a young organization, but with lots of experience.
And with big ambitions. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, currently the team is about 25 people. Maybe we'll be about 30. Don't try to increase the team that much. More trying to kind of focus on the effectiveness currently. So the vision is that we see so much potential in this, and we see that, you know, it can clearly prevent so much time and energy that is otherwise wasted on products that have no demand in the markets, right? So we see the necessary steps products into the market. So like you pre-launch it, assess the data, see whether it works, whether it doesn't work. And only after you launch it into the market and move forward confidently and succeed. So it can prevent a lot of not only the money, energy, and time invested into the wrong products, but also the environment, because there is like about 30% of the overall stock in fashion and in hardware is returns basically, and is thrown away into the environment, and less than 1% is reusable. So this is what makes us really motivated and really happy on solving this really big challenge that the world faces currently.
Right.
And yeah, we clearly see a solution there.
So thinking about your experience, both from building organizations and supporting entrepreneurs and creators and large organizations who are bringing new products, new ideas to market, what's the biggest piece of advice you could give someone who's starting out or has created the next greatest thing? You know, what's your best piece of advice?
There are actually so many advice that I would give actually, but trying to come with a couple of good ones that I wish somebody would give it to me. So first of all, you need to be aware that the problems will always be. Like in the beginning, you face a lot of problems and you think that when you're going to have time where there are no problems and there's just no time, you just need to change and you need to understand that it's okay to always come to work, face problems, solve them and move forward. It's really good to seek a mentorship of people who have really been there. So I'm always trying to kind of surround myself with at least like about, you know, 8 to 10 people who have much more experience than me. And somehow I'm bringing them into the organization as advisors, right? So I'm trying, starting from just convincing them to just figuring out some models, but bring them into the company. And it's helping so much. It's preventing us from making another failure that we would make if we didn't have this kind of person in the team. So that's a really, really good advice, to surround yourself with people who have higher experience, are smarter than you in many areas. And yeah, and the vision and culture are one of the cornerstones of sustainable business. Don't kind of ignore them. And understand that the culture and the vision are the columns where everything is based on.
What's your favorite business book?
Probably it's The Hard Things About Hard Things.
Oh, I love that book.
By Ben Horowitz. Yeah. I think that's the Bible. That's the first book anybody should read to see what they should expect when they are entering into the business, right? Because it's everyday challenge. And yeah, this is life. If somebody wants that kind of life, they can go for it and succeed.
Yeah, I love that. If you were to give a piece of advice or feedback to yourself, you know, if you think back when you started out with your first company, now that you know what you lived through, what advice would you give yourself as a new entrepreneur?
Yeah, that would be two pieces of advice, I would say. The first one would be think much, much bigger than you were thinking, to the level that it's scary. So you need to always set goals which are scary to you. And if they are not scary, then you're kind of shooting lower than you should. And the second will be the focus. So I did this mistake of not focusing on single things, but doing 10 things at a time. And there is some usefulness in there where you can figure out like which one works, which one doesn't work, but quickly pivoting and then concentrating all your energy and focus into one single thing would help a lot. And it's helping me a lot currently when I know it.
Yeah, I'm smiling because I can definitely relate to those two pieces of advice. And they're great advice. Setting out what I lived through and found, you know, one of my favorite thought leaders is Jim Collins. And we think of the big hairy audacious goal, and hairy audacious, should scare you. I love working with entrepreneurs and CEOs and leadership teams and challenging if it's big enough. I love it because they look back to their first one compared to probably the one they have now, and they realize that they needed to think bigger. But then when you bring it down and you bring it into your everyday, how do you connect it? How do you hold the focus to where you want to go? And it's a little bit of the journey that, you know, we were on our first organization with that 10 to 30 year goal. And then having, you know, that 1 year plan and that 90 day plan, we were having issues connecting the middle. And that's where our 3 year goal came from, right? Rather than a 5 year, our 3 year highly achievable goal came
from. Exactly. Yeah.
So what's one question you'd wish I had asked and didn't?
Actually, we covered it all. Like one question would be on the community side of pre-launch. You know, I spoke about what creators are getting, but, you know, it's a marketplace and maybe it will be interesting to also cover that aspect as well. So imagine on the community side, it looks like this, like you connect with your favorite brands, imagine your favorite brand. And now imagine you get access to their coming soon products, like what they're working on, which is not in the market yet, but will come up in 3 months or in 6 months, etc. And you are able to give these deposits and reservation and not only get access into discount and into getting this cool offer, but also start co-creating it with them. So you give feedback, you kind of become a teammate, you kind of participate in the product creation. And as you have your skin in the game, you're really helping the brands to bring something valuable into the market, right?
So
this co-creation is so powerful that prevents brands to work in isolation and then bring something into the market and figure out that nobody wants that. But also to involve, you know, the other side, their consumers, their potential consumers into the creation process and start co-creating it with them. So we see a lot of insights and a lot of usefulness into this.
And, you know, when you think of it, and I know you see this clearly, but it's two-sided, right? You got one side with the creators, the, you know, what they want to bring to market. And the other side is the community of who can get involved. And how cool is that?
Yeah, right? 100%.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Well, where can listeners find you online if they want to learn more about prelaunch.com? Is it prelaunch.com? Is that
It's pillars.com, yes.
Right? Love that. Your profile's on LinkedIn. And it's been amazing to talk to you today and learn more about, number one, prelaunch.com, but most important, what you've been through to actually, you know, create and build companies and support other entrepreneurs to actually build, you know, their dreams and bring them into the market.
Yeah, likewise. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Tip Top is brought to you by Metronomics. To find out more about Metronomics and how this 20-plus-year-old proven system will save you time and money as you grow up your business, visit metronomics.com. That's metronomics.com. Also, search for Metronomics in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found.